Today I'm in Corsham with Steve Drew, and I've come to see him particularly to talk about food banks, but we'll get onto that in a minute. So the first question is, do we have any mutual friends and acquaintances?
I think probably quite a few. For example, because I'm connected with Box, Cullen and Redlow Link, I know Pam Farmer.
Oh, yes.
Roger Eaton, Chris Ward, Susan and Brian Hatton, Lee Towler, Jackie Nicholas, Kathy Sutcliffe in Cullen, John and Jackie Bradburn, Janet and Rodney Priest, Ray Barker. Ray Barker because he was a former colleague at Avon.
So lots and lots of people.
Lots and lots of people.
But the person who volunteered you for this podcast was, of course, the Reverend Phil Harrison.
Yes. So, I shall thank him appropriately at the right time.
Yes. So the next question is, do you drink tea?
I do. As you can see, we're having a cup of tea now.
We are having a cup of tea now. And what is your favourite cup of tea?
Well, my favourite cup of tea is probably lavender. About 2 years ago, we organised trips for our clients through Link. And one of the trips we did, an outing, was to the lavender farm at Norton St Philip. And we happened to go on a lovely summer's afternoon. And the most refreshing thing you can drink when it's really hot, I think, is lavender tea. It is just delicious.
So does it have tea and lavender, or is it just lavender?
It's just made out of lavender, yeah.
Oh, I've got some lavender in my garden at the moment. I might try that.
Or at least I think it was. I'm pretty sure it was, yes.
Oh,
pretty sure it was.
That sounds quite intriguing. So that's your favourite cup of tea?
Though my favourite cup of tea of the day is the first one in the morning. English breakfast. Wakes you up, sets you up for the day.
No, I still haven't answered all these questions necessarily in that order, so I'm still thinking. So the question I'm asking everybody is, how do you respond to the statement Christianity in the UK is not dying but sleeping?
Well, I think it is sleeping, and what it needs is somebody to wake it up. Somebody really inspirational. Justin Welby is a very good man, but I don't consider him inspirational in the way in which, for example, the Pope is inspirational. I think Bishop Mike was inspirational in his ministry. And certainly he came to Neston to talk to us, or actually to preach, on our 150th anniversary year before last. And that was just amazing. He talked for 25 minutes, obviously completely unscripted, just walking up and down the church. It was a real event, and I shall always remember it.
I mean, I guess one of the questions that the whole reason why I'm asking this question is because in the places in which I work, we have real problems getting people to come to church on a Sunday, certainly on Sunday mornings, but the other church activities are growing, the things which are either in the afternoon or during the week. Is that your experience in Neston as well?
Well, we've just, unfortunately, we've just disbanded probably our most popular and successful service for families, which was something called Jumpstart, started by Victor Howlett about 10 years ago. And it was a breakfast service on the first Sunday of the month. People turned up at 9 o'clock, usually families with young children. They had breakfast, they had a bit of what I would call light religion. They did some craft work for about 45 minutes and then they went away, and everybody enjoyed it. And we got probably 30, 40 people plus. Because we've lost Phil, and we're down to 1.5 priests now for 5 churches, the proposal is that, and we've been trying it for 2 months, the third opportunity to try it is this month, on actually this coming Sunday, is something called Church at 4. Because families said, well, you know, all of the activities that families do on a Sunday start around 10 o'clock, so a 10 o'clock service isn't appropriate. So they're trying church at 4, so families come at 4 o'clock. And the only problem with that is that when we had a family service on the third Sunday, it wasn't just families who came, it was the usual congregation as well, and they enjoyed it. Whether well, I know that the usual congregation, as I would call it, the older members of the congregation, don't come to a church a service at 4 o'clock in the afternoon.
Do they feel not invited?
No, but I think they are doing other things by that time, maybe. And certainly during the winter, some of the older folk won't venture out because it'll be going dark as they come to church, and it'll certainly be dark when they leave.
Because, of course, we have just a few miles away from, well, I'll say a few, it might not be a few, it might only be a couple, in Rudlow.
Yeah.
We have Hartford Rudlow at 4 o'clock.
Yes.
It's twice a month on a Sunday afternoon, and we have people who come to that. Tends to be family orientated,
yes.
But we also have a few older people who come along,
right.
Ostensibly to help,
yes.
But I think they really enjoy it too.
Yeah, yeah.
So it has a kind of family atmosphere.
Yes. Well, the twice that we've done it so far, I would say that none of the people who would normally have come to a family service at 10 o'clock in the morning have come to a service at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Maybe it's a case of getting used to it, I don't know, but we'll see.
Yes, and there are all sorts of things about communication in that as well,
yeah.
And how we communicate, and I spent some time talking to Ben about that. So we're going to go on to your specialist questions now.
Yep.
So the first one is, why does a wealthy town like Corsham need a food bank?
Well, because although Corsham is a, I would say, mainly middle class and reasonably prosperous place, there are still areas of deprivation, and people who suffer from family breakup, losing their job, whatever. So we have the same sort of problems as lots of inner city communities do, though I would say not to the same degree, but we do have those problems. And most of our clients come from the areas where there used to be local authority housing and now social housing.
Mm. So how many parcels did you give out last year? Have you got that in your sort of...
I can tell you the number of people we helped.
Mm-hmm.
Our year starts in May and ends at the end of April. So the 17-18 year, we helped just under 1,000 people.
Gosh.
And that's out of Corsham has, 18,000-19,000 people. Now, that's not 1,000 single individuals, because some of those people will have come back quite a few times. And that's been a noticeable change in the nature of the food bank over the last couple of years. This is my third year as chairman, and what I've noticed is, whereas originally the food bank was set up in 2011, to help people who are in dire need now, giving them food for 3 days, though actually what we give them lasts quite a lot longer than that. That was what we were aiming to do. Now we see people coming back several times, partly because we have established good relationships with the Money and Debt Advice Service in Corsham and Citizens Advice in Chippenham, and they refer people to us who are in debt, and obviously 3 days worth of food, although it's an immediate help, that doesn't get you out of debt, and that's why people come back several times. Unfortunately, that's been exacerbated by universal credit.
Yes. I think that's probably going to come into your third question,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes.
Is the Corsham Food Bank a trust or trust food bank?
No, it's an independent food bank. It's actually called Corsham Churches Food Bank because it was set up by the churches in Corsham. The initiative was taken by the Methodist URC Church, St Aldhelms. They suggested to all of the other churches that we should get together to form a food bank, as I said, in 2011. And representatives came from each of the churches in the Corsham area, and got together and formed a committee, wrote a constitution, elected trustees. All of our trustees are from are members of local churches. We're supported by all the churches in that we collect food from all of them. Some of them give us cash donations. And we have a very good relationship with the Co-op in Corsham, and also with Sainsbury's, which is surprising because I would have thought Sainsbury's as Chippenham rather than Corsham, but nonetheless they support us. We have a food box out there. We empty twice a week. But it's called Calls from Churches Food Bank for a reason, because it was set up by the churches.
And I guess my second question, formal question, was what is the church aspect of Calls from Food Bank? So it sounds like involved in the beginning.
Yeah.
And involved in the continuing running.
Yes. All of our trustees are members of local churches. In fact, the only church that isn't represented with a trustee is St Bart's. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are two other Anglican churches who are Neston and Gastart who are represented. I suppose the Christian element, apart from the fact that it was set up by the church, is that three times a year at Christmas, Easter and in the summer, because we know that when school finishes, particularly the children from families where they have free school meals, obviously they have more difficulty than others. So we provide them with food at the start of the holiday to try and help them over the holiday period. And certainly twice a year at Christmas and at Easter, with each of the parcels that we give to families, or any individual gets a parcel, at Christmas they get an appropriate Christmas story, and likewise at Easter. Mm. So we don't force religion down anybody's throat. It's there if they want to make use of it and come to church or whatever, that's fine. But it's not certainly not a condition of coming to the food bank that you have to come to church.
Do people have to be referred, or can they self-refer?
They can self-refer. We prefer it if they're referred, and we have, I think, something like 19 or 20 agencies in the area who have our vouchers, and can then they make the decision that someone needs some help, and they then send them to us with a voucher. But people do self-refer, they do come in. We have to listen to what they have to say. And I have to say, so far, we've not turned anyone away. I know that, you know, one of the criticisms of food banks perhaps is that some people do take them for a ride. Maybe that's been the case, I don't know. But as I said, we don't turn anyone away.
Many years ago, 20 years ago, I used to help at the Sisters, Community of the Sisters of the Church in St Paul's. And we didn't have any referral at that time. People just arrived on a Sunday and we gave them a bag of food, which was adjusted for their circumstance. And people used to say to me, but you have no idea if they really need it or not. And I used to say to people, well, if someone's prepared to come and queue up on a Sunday afternoon for a bag, which at that point was worth £2.20, then whether they've got money or not, they need that bag of food, really.
Yes. Well, for a lot of people coming to us, it's slightly intimidating and certainly embarrassing mm-hmm. experience. They don't want to have to do it. They do it because they're desperate. And, we don't try to judge anybody. As I said, we will take what they say at face value.
Mm. So what one thing could change in the UK so that less people need emergency food supplies?
Well, immediately it would be universal credit. It's causing a lot of problems, both in respect of reductions in benefits, but even more seriously than that, delays in benefits. And we've helped a lady twice in the last month whose benefits have been delayed by nearly 3 months. So, you know, she's had no money during that time, which is a scandal, really. And some of it is lost paperwork, some of it is forms not filled in quite correctly, whatever, all sorts of reasons. But nonetheless, you know, it's human misery that it causes, and we see that.
Do you provide food for people in surrounding villages?
Yes.
But they have to be able to get to Corsham.
Well, yes, to some extent. I mean, we will deliver it if we have to. We've helped people in Cullen, we've helped people in Laycock, and you know, anywhere with, as long as it's got I know Cullen isn't, but as long as it's got an SN13 postcode, then we will help them.
Right. I'm just curious because I still, every now and then, end up giving people food out of my cupboard. Mm. And I do it normally about once a year.
Yeah.
And I've got a little tiny emergency fund. So if I know somebody in the village needs it, I can just give them some money. And what sometimes happens is that when they're in better positions, they come back with the money and say, can you pass this on to someone else? Which is a lovely way of actually village life working. But but a lot of the more vulnerable people that we work with wouldn't be able to come to Corsham, so that's useful to know. I could refer people if I...
What we could do is we could give you some vouchers. And if you complete the voucher and tell us the circumstances, we could deliver the food to you and you could then pass it on.
Yeah. It's strange, isn't it, how in a village sometimes that kind of all gets into it. I had a particular person I knew who had a benefits issue. This was a few years ago now. And she'd sent her children off to their father for the weekend. And she said, well, that's fine. They've got food there. I won't have any food in the house until Monday. And I'm like, well, you're not leaving without this, and this, because that will see you through the weekend, at least. And I think people often don't see that going on for people at all.
We do have a food bank collection point in Box, and that's in McColl's. It used to be the co-op, and in fact we emptied it on Wednesday this week and it was 2/3 full. So
that's really good.
People are generous.
Good. And I know there's one in Cullen as well.
Yes,
because we have long debates about whether it's sited in the right place.
Well, it's effective now. Again, we had a delivery I think a week last Saturday.
So the roundup question for all of these interviews has been, what is your favourite thing beginning with T?
I thought about this and I talked to my wife about it, and I think it's teachers. In that the teachers that I was lucky to experience in my school life really helped to set me up for, first of all, university and then my career. So it would be teachers, definitely. And I can remember them and, you know, picture them now.
It's really interesting, isn't it? Because it's not a very long part of your life when you're a child at school. But good teachers can influence for the good for the rest of your life.
Well, I shall always remember Miss White, who was my first teacher at primary school, and I was hopelessly in love with her. She was a lovely person and very attractive as well. So I shall always remember her. And then, you know, through secondary school and into university, lots of good people who helped me along the way.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thank you very much for seeing me today, Steve.
You're welcome. I've enjoyed it.